One of the reasons we're in Hosea 14. In the field of repentance.
I'm reading about Abraham with the kids.
The boys.
You want to put the mic on?
Yeah, as soon as I have something to say, I'm going to clip it on. So I find out where I'm going. Then you can like punch the button.
He's already done that.
Put the mic on, please.
Just a bunch of dead air. No one's really listening.
Yeah. Gary attached it to his stomach yesterday.
Trying to find this.
Anybody seen Ronnie? I haven't seen Ronnie since Friday.
No. He comes up to get his medicine. Yeah, we were talking with the kids. You know, I teach the three boys in our sort of a Bible study, going through the Bible. Basically, we're just sort of going through Genesis, but limiting our goals. If we can get through Genesis during this thing, it'll be a lot. And so Liam was asking a lot of good questions. But what fascinated them was this thing. I'm trying to find the particular point we were. Yeah, it'd be nice to have my own Bible. At least the pages are all intact in this Bible.
It'll fall out.
And Liam said, I don't understand that place where Abraham goes to sleep and the little flame thing comes and does stuff and, you know, and there's this darkness stuff. And so what's all that about? That's great. So if I could just find that passage, we could talk about it because it's... But my glasses are being weird here. Yeah, I don't recognize anywhere where I am in the little Gideon Bible here. This is the place. It's Genesis chapter 15. We'll start reading in just verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall be not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And this was, you know, more than just, you're going to have a lot of kids or offspring. It was looking at the constellations and the the story that's told in them about Messiah. So just a wild scene, because it's like everybody had a version of what that story was. You know, all the where Abraham just he'd come out of Ur, and they had a whole story about what the constellations were, and you know, and it was all tied into their gods and Marduk and Tiamat and all these people. You know, it's like, oh, this is the war between blah blah blah. You know, and so everybody knew a story or some kind of story that had been twisted, and so God brings Abram out and basically, you know, gives him an understanding of what that was. It's not talking about the king. It's not talking about, you know, your own personal destiny. It's not talking about any of that stuff. It's talking about, like everything is talking about Messiah that's going to come. You know, you've got the virgin, you have the child, you have the ending of the Lion of Judah and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, so it's more was happening in that scene than just stepping out, you know, outside the door and seeing all the stars and going, you know, well, you're going to have lots of kids, even though you looks like you can't. And that was part of it too. But when it says here that tell the tell the stars if thou be able to number them, and it's talking about enumerating them and saying their names. In other words, he went through and explained, you know, all the names of all the constellations. And we need to see this about everything. You know, I mean, basically, if you don't have a moment like that with God that's talking, you look around and everything you see becomes a revelation of him, then you're walking around, you know, in confusion. Because what happened to Abraham, when you see the stars and it turns out they're all arranged in a way that's talking about this one reality, then it sort of clarifies everything in your life. Because it's kind of hard to fake that, you know. God's saying, this is what this is, and I'm the one who's controlling all this. And you got to understand something else about the stars. I just remembered this point. And I remember reading this, maybe it was in Cosmos, a book by Carl Sagan, the billions and billions guy.
Did you say Cosmos?
Cosmos.
Oh.
The constellations only look like they do over a period of time. They change. You know, like even 100,000 years ago, all the stars were slightly off different places, and you know, over time, they're the way we see them in the familiar constellation patterns is just really for right now in this, you know, maybe, you know, 5,000 years or something that you know, we have history.
Only from this location.
Yeah, from our location
in the universe.
Yeah, in the Milky Way or something, where we're located. And so really, if you think about God preparing everything to sort of lock into this, suddenly there's a discernible story that's, you know, actually readable in the stars is just mind-blowing, you know. And so that's what he's telling and explaining and revealing to Abraham at this point in the story.
This mirrors the experience of the guys walking with him on the road, Jonas.
Yeah, right.
Where he does the same thing with the Bible.
Right.
Look at everything.
It's like he explained to him that this is all fulfilled in Christ. And, you know, guess what? That's the meaning of life. You know, you can sit around, you look at all the stuff going on and everything that's occurring in history and current events and walking down the street and, you know, weird things in your own life. And God has been doing that same thing. He's been moving incredible forces and you know, bringing things from, you know, thousands of miles away to to interact, you know, all for the purposes of revealing himself to you, but also to me and to whoever. It's like it's all intricately intertwined in a way that, you know, only God could do it, you know. We can't even figure out what he's done, but we know it's something wild. You know, all the weird stuff in my life, I ran into Gary in Waco, Texas, and we bumped into each other as God was moving, you know, Gary out of, you know, his weird California stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and so moving me from weird religious stuff into, you know, and so... It's jaw-droppingly magnificent what God does with that. So God tells him this. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, enumerate the stars. Name them off as I'm explaining this to you. So shall thy seed be. His seed was Christ. And the story in the stars was talking about Christ. And then it says, he believed in the Lord. And then God, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. So right there in these two verses is the whole way faith works. Is God reveals stuff. And we can either believe it or not. And, you know, if we believe, which is the belief is generated by God himself, and our response to that, God, instead of doing anything, he could have, like, check off, okay, well, you've passed the first test. Now there are 15 more, you know. Well, that's not it. It's like it's immediately a response of faith, which is you just let go and you're, you know, running that way towards God is, you know, it's like it's immediately counted as righteousness. And that's that only righteousness in the universe is Christ himself. So by recognizing Christ in the stars or in your life or whatever, then you become Christ. I mean, it's like where it says in the New Testament, you know, if you see him, you'll be like him. And you're transformed from glory to glory. It's like, you know, it's this weird transformation process that we would never have worked it that way. We would have like 15 things you needed to do. And, you know, and we'd make sure that, you know, I'd make sure I'm the one who can pass all 15. And then I'll, you know, tell you that you need to pass at least 10. You know, or something. You know, we do any kind of weird religious stuff. That in all other religions, it's like that. The uniqueness of what God's done that's revealed in the scriptures is wonderful. You know, if you look at other religious stuff, there's always something to do. And so for him here, for Abram,
excuse me for a second.
Yeah,
this thing we were just talking about. How over billions of years God has created and moved and aligned stars so that it's for a certain period of time, from a certain viewpoint, they're saying what they should be saying. If you could imagine yourself being one of those stars at any point and going, how the hell did I get here and what am I doing? What's my purpose? The star did nothing to create itself, did nothing to get where it is, did nothing to be shining. It is doing exactly what it's supposed to do to tell the story.
Yeah.
That's the parable of our life.
Right. The heavens declare the glory of God, and so does everything else. And so do we, if we can see it, you know. That's why we're where we are. That's why we came from where we came from, and in the same way. And it's only declaring this one thing. It's not, you know, for any other reason. You know, it's not, God brought me here, you know, to live in this house next door so I could have a secure job here in Dallas rather than being in, thank God I wasn't in New Orleans when the hurricane, or I would have been blown away by the hurricane. You know, you go through, It's all ridiculous. It's just to reveal his glory, not for anything else. So, he tells Abram that. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord then counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And then Abram says, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? This is sort of like one of those Gideon things, you know, where God says something and you're going like, but, you know, I really need something. You know, how about a fleece?
I need 2 cakes.
Yeah, right. Could I have a little extra manna? Anyway, so it's very, you know, it's, and this is the kind of thing that I'm trying to tell the boys that the reason you know that the Bible has got to be true is because all of the crazy things these patriarchs did, you know, wouldn't be in there, you know, if this was some kind of propaganda, you know, thing that was produced for marketing purposes to get you to do something, you know. God says, Abram says, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And God said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all those and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, and the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So it's like God said to do this, and then God just disappears. You know, so he's out there with all these dead animals laid out in a row, you know. You know, it's pretty soon vultures and, you know, like, things really are coming there. Out. You know, it's, so he's like swinging tree branches, and he's like, you know, the day is going on. The carcasses are like, you know, starting to...
It's stinking.
Molder, yeah. And
I believed.
And then, it says, and when the sun was going down, so it was like all day long, he's out there swinging at vultures, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And this was... Traditionally, they said this was the same darkness that fell up on the Egyptians, you know, with the plague of darkness, the thick darkness that you could touch. And at this point in the story, this is a great story because it's relevant to each one of us. We have this belief where we, you know, we respond in faith. God counts us to righteousness, and then we have this experience that solidifies what it is we're really talking about here. God does the covenant, you know. And we've talked about this many, many times, but he's cutting a covenant with Abram, and he's putting Abram to sleep so that he won't be able to glory in any part of it, in his flesh. Flesh can't, you know, glory in anything that God is doing. So he goes to sleep, but it's a sleep in which he experiences horror. You know, why do they throw in that word horror? And it's the, in this point of being out of it, Abram is experiencing his own sin, the depth of, you know, of, you know, just coming before God like that and having God do all this stuff, he's got to go to the very bottom of his soul and experience, you know, the blackness there of being without God, what that means. And then meanwhile, at the point that's happening, God is confirming the covenant by, it says he comes through here with a flaming lamp, sort of a mysterious deal. Well, it says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. You're going to basically, all those people are going to, I'm going to drive them out and give the land to you. But it was in a point where the covenant took place without Abram doing anything. He was asleep at the point of probably in sort of a nightmare zone of despair about his own sin. Then God gives him this promise in the middle of that. He says, this is what's going to happen, and I'm doing it all. Usually, the covenant is that if you hold up your end of the bargain, I'll hold up my end of the bargain. That's the way we make bargains. And we're rightfully offended when people don't hold up their end of the bargain and the deal's off.
Take them to court.
That's the legality of the way those things work. But the way God works is that's what grace is he holds up all of the bargains. It's like he's doing everything. There is no flesh involved that can get anything out of it. Which is why if you are getting something out of your relationship with God, where you're, feeling like I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Why isn't God blessing me? Then you probably don't even have a bargain. It's like you need to get a bargain. You need to get in on this. But to do it, you have to experience the horror of great darkness. It just always happens that way. So the boys were talking about this, And as I was reading it, I noticed that the horror of great darkness there is linked to him explaining that they're all going to go into captivity in Egypt and experience that horror of great darkness, the darkness that was one of the plagues. So it's like directly linked there, which is kind of cool. And Liam was saying, well, when they change his name, what's the difference between Abram and Abraham? Why have a name changed? So we were talking about all that, how that, it's got God's name in the middle of his name. It's like Yahweh. I was telling him about the secret name of God that you can't pronounce, is really just sort of, they don't even know how it's pronounced, but it's like all the vowels or something, that Hebrew doesn't have any of those vowels. And we talked about all this whole stuff. And it's got Abraham, it's like the huh is in there. And that has to be in, it's like God in the midst of all that. God in you, Christ in you, is what faith is. And so in that sense, we all have new names. It's like if you don't, then you're not there. So anyway, we had fun talking about that. And today we're going to talk about the next thing. That's, I guess, Hagar and Ishmael and all that kind of stuff. So, I guess I'll have to study up on that before I meet them about
tell
an hour.
About on this thing, tell them about the pit under the pyramid, the total blackness of the universe, absence of light under the pyramid. But there's a shaft that points through to the North Star. The only thing you can see at one point in the year is the North Star.
Yeah, all of
shining in the darkness.
That's cool. I mean, all of those ancient ways they would build things and align things with the stars and all that stuff, there's so many layers of meaning there, that They didn't even know what they were doing. You know, it's like, why are we doing this? You know, it just, you're drawn to this point, but you can't get over. You know, you can't cross that divide without God doing what he did to Abram, which is basically just choosing to reveal himself and then doing it all. I've been studying about a lot of different, I've been studying a lot about Greek religion, early, you know, stuff, and how many of the things they talk about, some of the philosophers and different people are just right on, you know, but they get to a certain point and they can't get any further than that. That's as far as they can go. You know, they can figure out that, you know, this is bogus, you know, things need to be this way, but there's no way to actually do it. Yeah. You know, it's just amazing. So God is really, the mercy that he's shown on us to reveal these things and to pluck us out of whatever weird world, you know, we've been in is we need to be thankful all day long, every day.
Let's think about this parable of he takes these animals and cuts them all up, exposes all their parts, and then he goes to sleep, but God with his lamp goes and walks in that figure eight.
Yeah, right.
And it's like he touches the innermost part of every part of us. There's nothing left that is not exposed to God.
And basically he's saying, you know, these sacrifices, your sacrifice too. You're dead, and then the mystical resurrected life, which is my light going around in this chopped up mess of, you know, sacrifices, is your only hope.
Chopped up mess of something.
Yeah, I mean it's bloody. So that's all for this morning. I guess. Anybody got another word?
I'm glad to know you have that class with the boys. I didn't know you were doing it, wasn't it?
It's sort of a secret underground class.
Yeah.
We don't tell many people about it.
It's out.
You should make them glue on little curls.
Yeah. They'd love that. Or Liam already has
like
those.
That. That's what I mean. Make them take one during class.
Okay, then. Now, wait, I know that Kevin was here earlier.
Me and Peter going flying together.
They're going to film stuff.
They're like addicted to the